Have you ever heard the term imposter syndrome? We've covered it before, and I've covered it in past podcasts that I've been on. I think it's a pretty common thing that a lot of us feel, particularly in like the professional world and stuff, where we just feel like we're not the most highly qualified person to be doing the thing we're doing, even though we are. You just feel like someone's going to out you and you're going to be discovered as a fraud, even though you are totally competent and have done a great job. So Greg and I wanted to get into that a little bit. I think we both have some of that going on between us, and let's see where it goes. So hopefully this can help you if you suffer from some of the same imposter syndrome tendencies that we do. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Warrior Mindset Podcast. We're your guide as you make your way through life, getting better 1% every day. We believe that life is lived and true victory won through adversity. Nothing easy is ever worth it. We believe in the warrior ethos and support those that choose to walk that path.
We're about to talk about some stuff.
Oh, no.
Everybody's going to find out.
Yeah.
That we are frauds.
You don't know what you're talking about.
And that we're failures. The good news is, so is everybody else.
I was going to say, you're going to say, the good news is, so are you.
The good news is, it's true.
Yeah. For real.
What's up, everybody? Hope y'all are doing well out there in the world. Gene and I have been talking a lot about imposter syndrome lately, and we figured it would be a good time to maybe talk about that, explore it a little bit.
It's a good topic.
You know, it's one of those things where it's kind of up there with failure and self-worth and, you know, what are you doing with your life and do you have purpose and, you know, this never-ending grind that we have here in the States, at least.
Yeah.
Right. To achieve, right, to succeed. And I mean, what that even means. So anyway, if you're somebody who suffers from imposter syndrome, like I think both Gene and I do or have, and we have lots of folks that struggle with this. Yeah. And with certain areas, this one's for you. And hopefully you're going to see or hear yourself in some of what we're talking about. That might be uncomfortable. We like to maybe get a little deeper than surface level on some of these things because we struggle with them and we're curious and we know you guys out there are struggling with these things too. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Glad you're along for the ride.
Well, what'd you find? I mean, you looked some stuff up. So did I. Let's define it. What is the imposter syndrome?
So, I guess it's not
a clinical like diagnosis.
It's close, it's just though.
A phenomenon. Like it's a thing that they study in people.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess it's sort of like it, you know, do you find yourself, you know, thinking about things like, they're going to find out about me, mm-hmm. or I don't know if I have what it takes to do this. Or I am a failure,
yeah.
Or, you wake up and look yourself in the mirror, you know, and you're mm-hmm. struggling for whatever reason to get rolling with whatever your day holds, you know, whether you've got anxiety or insecurity or that feeling of dread, you know, like the Sunday scaries, some people call them. A lot of these things are, it's tied to a lot of things, but for folks that are, for whatever reason, high achieving external based on external metrics. Yeah. So the world around you would say, wow, this person's pretty successful.
Yeah.
But when you wake up and look at that mirror, you think to yourself that you are the farthest thing from that.
Right.
I have had many occasions where that has happened to me.
Yeah, you just don't feel like you deserve it.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah. But the, you know, imposter syndrome is, you know, it is that feeling that you have. It's a person that doesn't feel confident or competent regardless of what you achieve.
Yeah.
And in some cases, because of that anxiety or that lack of confidence, you're not fully able to experience the joy of success. Mm-hmm. Even if something good happens, you're literally, you know, that's why we opened it with the jig is up, right? You're waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? This thing happened. It was good, but I'm just waiting around for the bad news that follows, because that's the way it works. And it always happens that way. You know, two steps forward, one step back, all these sort of idioms, these things that roll around in your head. I mean, those are examples of imposter syndrome. Yep. It was a psychological term defined back in the 70s.
Yep.
And funny enough, it was defined around women.
I read that
to begin with.
Yeah.
But it has come to light, obviously, that it is something that affects everybody. Yeah.
You don't get to just claim that yourself, all you ladies.
He said it. I did not. We embrace you as equals, and we are all imposters.
Yeah, we're all equally screwed up.
All equally screwed up. So, I mean, you know, it's a condition they observed in professional women, funny enough, these Clance and Imes, these psychological researchers. You know, and so that's it, you know, and it's not being humble or being or embracing humility. Those are good characteristics.
Right.
Right. It's a good thing, right? Being realistic, acknowledging that we have limitations as humans.
Yeah.
It is like an unfounded belief that you are meant to fail, that you will never be good enough. You know, and in reading some of that stuff, it's like everything else. If you've gone to any sort of life coaching or any sort of counseling, it all stems from really the kind of person that you are and how you were raised and what you were exposed to when you were younger. And, you know, there are a lot of good examples, you know, like a lot of folks that are high achievers have imposter syndrome and vice versa. A lot of folks that suffer from imposter syndrome are in fact high achievers. So, you know, like what's a good example? Susie is a high powered executive. I'm making someone up, you know, a marketing, she's an agency gal, kind of like she's in our world, and she crushes her goals. She is a beast on the business or creative front. But it never feels like it's enough for her. And so in her mind's eye, she has not achieved success. Well, it just so happens in this example that Susie was a high achiever when she was younger and when she was a student, a kid in school, and she'd come home and you know, run through the door waiting, couldn't wait to tell her dad or her mom about the 94 she got, which is a solid A, right?
Yeah,
good effort. As measured by like tests. She'd bring that paper home and she'd wave it around. And the first thing that her dad would say would be, "That's great, honey. Why didn't you get 100? And that example sort of, if you're exposed to that on a regular basis, I mean, the message that it sends is that nothing that you do will be good enough. So there are a ton of examples that we read. I thought they were really interesting. We could probably just sit here and ruminate on those. I mean, my thing is, if you're listening to this, take a moment to think about where you are in your journey in your life and how many times this kind of mentality has crept into your work or your life or your world. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's imposter syndrome. What about you? Where does this creep into your life?
Well, yeah. So a lot of times for me, it begins to raise its head around things that I don't know, right? So, you know, I get asked a lot in my day job to do things that I don't quite know how to do, you know, but I know that I have the skills to learn it on the fly and figure it out. So, you know, it's not like engineering stuff, but it's kind of close, right? So I don't know how to accomplish it, but I know that I can accomplish it with the tools that I've developed. So I begin to sort of feel like, you know, man, I'm not the guy for the job, you know, like we should probably get somebody else in here to do this. And then as I start, you know, working on it, I'm like, oh, well, I got this, you know, but that's sort of like, you know, being in the upfront conversations about those things, you know, I get a little lost, you know, where I'm like, oh, I don't really know, you know, I don't know if that's possible, you know, so I tend to not push the envelope on certain things.
So that makes sense? It's around new challenges.
Yeah.
And for like sure. This idea of like the fear of not being able to accomplish it, not knowing how to do it, creeping in, it sort of prevents you from moving forward on it.
But I've done it for 25 years.
So your imposter syndrome rears its ugly head at the beginning of something unknown.
Yeah.
But then you sort of are able to dial it back, and then
I always have been able to. I mean, I've always been able to figure it out. You know, I've always been able to get through.
Yeah.
Like for 25 years, I've done the same job. You know, and it's like, well, nothing's like stumped me to the point where I've had to go back to a client and say like, well, sorry, I told you I could do this, but we can't. Like, we always get it done. We figure it out. So
yeah,
it's that, you know. But I think, you know, not carrying like overconfidence is pretty important too.
Yeah.
You know,
well, yeah.
Because you don't want to be the asshole that's like, yeah, no problem, whatever. And then, you know, then you're like, well, sorry.
You know, it's funny. They talk about that in some of the articles we're reading, I mean, about the kind of imposter syndrome that mm-hmm. you have, or the kind of imposter gotcha. That you are. Do you view yourself as successful? And if so, or if not, on what metrics?
It depends. Like there's lots of, I think that's open ended. So I'm going to say no.
Well, I mean, so
because yeah. I don't have a quick yes, you know,
fair enough. So let me preface it. If you don't know Gene, you know, and you were to ask me about Gene, I'm talking to you out there, mm-hmm. listener, you know, I could rattle off 10 things that he has done professionally and in his life that for me are incredibly impressive, right?
Well, thank you.
You're an impressive guy.
Thank you.
And based on external metrics, someone else looking at your life saying, I mean, this guy, not only has he built mm-hmm. and grown an agency for 25 years, mm-hmm. he's still in business, a huge accomplishment. If thank you're you. In that world, you know how difficult it is, right? He's built and grown several successful companies. Mm-hmm. He is an accomplished martial artist. I mean,
thank you.
Well beyond the skill level of most. You put yourself through the ringer physically and mentally regularly and come out of the other side stronger person. You know, you're a successful podcaster.
And remains to be seen.
Well, but you know, yeah. relative to the bunch of yeah. the rest of the Yahoos out there, like
yeah,
you know,
just don't read the YouTube comments.
Right. So there's all these metrics. I you know,
right.
So someone looking out,
yeah, YouTube comments should not be a metric on success.
Right. Let's just be clear FYI. About that. but if someone were outside looking in, or at a earlier stage in their journey, maybe they would be like, "This guy is an absolute badass."
Well, thank you.
And here we are.
Yeah.
You responding to me saying, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's it right there.
Right.
I feel the same way with my life. Like, you know, if I turn the tables on that, I mean, it would be the same thing, right? Greg started this thing. He built this thing, right? He's a leader in the blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of that has helped me get more settled in myself and feel like I am successful.
Yeah.
And then I start churning. I'm like, well, what do I even define as success?
Yeah.
And
that's a tough question.
And if my values are like being a good dad, but then I'm out here being jealous, somebody in our entrepreneurial community, in our circle, in our network is finding success. And I'm like, why is that hard for me?
Yeah.
I mean, those things are not congruent.
Yeah.
And I think these are all the ways that imposter syndrome creeps into our lives. And, sure. I don't know about you, man, but some days it can be debilitating.
It can be
debilitating.
Yeah.
Like
it can stop you from even getting going in the first place,
which is like dead on arrival, right? Yeah. Debilitating.
Yeah. You're just like, I don't even want to start. Yeah. You know, comparison is the thief of joy, right? You cannot compare yourself to someone else, even if you're on the same track. I mean, we preach that in martial arts daily, like, cause you see that you literally can see the excitement melt from someone's face when they see someone else do the same, like successfully do the same thing they were just trying and failed to do.
But I think part of the problem with comparison
the micro though.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, and the other thing, you know, about imposter syndrome, we just need to sort of acknowledge is it is not external. It is this problem is internal. It's all inside of you in your head.
Yeah.
But I think the problem with external comparison, I think there are some good ways that is healthy from a measuring progress and success standpoint. But I also think it's lazy. It's easy to look around, look outside and say, look at this person.
Yeah.
And you know, well, again, just like we did with each other, right? Hey, Gene's badass. Gene's Greg's badass.
Yeah.
Someone else is Greg. You're amazing. Can I meet with you? If you don't have any metrics for your personal success, you can't. I mean, your only basis is external comparison. Right. And then we've got this, this sort of Instagram world where everything is curated, and you know, you look around and you see these people being the least authentic version of themselves, you know, and it just feeds that fucking beast. It just feeds that inadequacy beast.
The inadequacy beast.
It's a it's a real thing. I mean, feeling inadequate.
Well, I apologize. I didn't send it to you beforehand. I'll cut it in the audio.
Asshole.
Gary Vaynerchuk has some really good shit to say about this. But he says he'd like to kill the word imposter syndrome. He doesn't, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, of course, most people in our industry do. But if you don't, look him up. He curses a lot. Anyway, he says he wants to kill the word imposter syndrome, like as a word. He thinks it gets overused when we should just call it what it is, and it's insecurity. Right. Because so I think like clinically, if we're being, you know, dime store psychologists on or whatever, we should not try to prop it up and paint it in pretty colors. We should just look at imposter syndrome as like treat it like what it is. We're insecure about something, you know, like you're insecure because maybe you don't feel like you know enough shit, you know, whatever it is, and attack it like that. And I really like what he says about how to overcome it, which is he's like, you just have to practice putting yourself in positions where you feel that way and overcome it enough. he's famous for oversimplifying things.
Right.
You know, because he's like, you want to get famous on social media? Post more. Like, it's not that simple, bro. But, you know, but I do like the part about, let's just call it insecurity, like, because that's what it is.
It is. Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it is a well-rounded.
Yeah. And I'm comfortable saying that I'm insecure in lots of different parts of my life, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be silly not to. But I think being vulnerable about it and talking about it is also sort of practicing overcoming, right?
I think that's a part of acknowledging that this is probably something anyone who is pushing to be better.
Yeah.
Experiences. And so there's
probably a personality type that would like push it down and try to like pretend in other areas to be tougher or something, you know?
Oh yeah.
To overcome it. I mean, we've met people like that before.
Yeah. I mean, actually it's a good point to bring up. So what are the things that cause it? Not situations, those are symptoms, right? You can acknowledge those in your own life, but just, you know, this distortion, they call it this cognitive distortion, got your skills and accomplishments. If someone praises you, you know, you doubt that praise is legitimate, which, you know I struggle with. I am horrible at accepting compliments. I always deflect or push it off to, it was the team or whatever.
Right.
But family environment, growing up, parents and other family members might have just put an outside emphasis on achievement. We talked about Susie. Social pressures. If you are, you know, if you are insecure and there's a group of people that you would like to be around or a part of, and for whatever reason you don't fit in, and that can lead to huge, huge imposter syndromes, syndrome feelings.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm always reluctant to blame like parents heavily leaning on those sort of things, probably because I didn't experience those. Right. So I'm at least able to acknowledge that like I didn't experience that. So I don't understand it, but I'm always really reluctant to look there first. So,
and I think there's also a healthy balance. I mean, being dads now, right? We're dads. You know, my son is 7. Yours are grown, are a little older.
They ain't grown yet. I still got those bills to pay.
That never parenting doesn't stop at 18.
They're not grown until I don't pay the bills.
Right. That's your metric. I like your measure of success.
It's a pretty good metric.
It's not a bad one. it's very expensive. But like, I find myself so my son, because I would say I acknowledge that, but at the same time, I didn't necessarily experience a high achiever pressure situation from my parents.
Right.
They were
supportive. No, I can see where I can see where that could be a thing. I don't know anyone.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I was gonna say
I have friends that
if you're listening and you are, please, we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, and also just it's okay. We, you know, my upbringing influenced me in other ways.
That's a different podcast. For me as well.
And we need to get a couch here in the podcast studio because I need to lay off
and some whiskey.
But I have found myself. My son came home with like a not a great report card. He took a test. He's in Montessori. They when you're in, you know, what we've starting to learn is when you're younger in Montessori, it's a, you're very self-directed. So those kids typically, funny enough, I read and I talked to our teacher about it. They usually score poorly on standardized tests at the beginning because their learning style, they have not been adapted to or accustomed to or trained to perform well on those tests, right? Because they're do what you want. Do what's right. interesting. Explore, right. you know, turn over some leaves, explore things.
Yeah, yeah.
But they typically catch up. So anyway, so he got a bad, you know, got a bad test score. And my wife was like, you know, we need to figure out what's going on. Mm. But you know, it's not bad. And I was like, this is not good. This is not good. And we need to do something about it. Mm. You know, and we had this debate about whether we should like tell him that his score was below what we expected. And, yeah. and we ended up not doing that. And then I gained information and it made me feel more comfortable. But I did also, you know, it was a thing where instead of saying you didn't do well enough, you need to do better. You know, we have to figure out how to help him take those kinds of tests. He's smart enough to take them. Yeah. He just doesn't know the format. So, yeah. I mean, that was high achieving Greg about to impose some high achieving pressure on my son. And I think there is a healthy.
Yeah. I struggle with that too, because
there's a line, right? Between like pushing your colleagues or your partners or your children to be better.
Yep.
And then making them feel laying the seeds of feeling inadequate for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. But do you think that telling him that he didn't do as good as you thought he could do for whatever reason would be really setting him up for that? Because I don't think you would support, I don't think you would go down that road in any other aspect of his life.
Well, I mean, it's like everything else. I mean, one time, no.
Yeah.
But you would want to do it the right way. But if, think about this in the context of imposter syndrome. What if that was your dad? And he had, and that was his response to almost everything that you brought home.
Right.
There is no way that doesn't have a psychological impact on you.
Yeah. For sure.
Because it becomes a part of your nervous system, right? Yeah. And I find myself all the time saying, look what I did.
Yeah.
Because I love you, spouse.
Yeah.
I did extra dishes, right?
Yeah.
You know, whatever else, you know, just seeking,
yeah.
craving some of that acknowledgement that, you know, you are a successful husband, partner.
Yep. As you were saying that, I was thinking like that might be part of the symptom thing. I don't know. Like if we're looking for external validation, you know what I mean? Like you can't really, you're not going to get external validation. You know what I mean? Like
probably
it just
not, you probably won't get it the way you want it.
Yeah. It's not going to work. And then when you get it, you're like, I don't want it. Right. You know? So it's like
setting an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah. So,
hey, look at that. I mean, these are all symptoms, right? I mean, self-doubt, undervaluing your contributions, attributing success to external factors.
Yeah. I mean,
sabotaging yourself, setting unrealistic expectations. Like, why didn't this person respond a certain way?
That's hard.
Which you can't control.
Yeah.
And then a continuous fear of not living up to expectations, which can create anxiety. And then I think more importantly, especially in this country and in our industry and in the entrepreneurial community, is burnout.
Yeah.
Right. You know, people use that word. They throw it around a lot, you know, but imagine working on something for a long time and then not getting any benefit or reward when that thing is done.
Well, that's the definition of burnout.
Right. But I mean, that is what happens in your mind with imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you did. It's not good enough. And so it's kind of like that when we did that conversation on living in the gap. It's that same concept, right? The gap between your achievement and where you think you need to be. If you're living in the gap, you will never feel success.
Yeah, no, because you're never done.
So I saw this list and I was like, you know, I can remember moments recently where each of these things happened in my life, like where something came up and I was like, I can't do this. I don't know, to your point about the complex problem. deflecting that compliment. Well, really, it was the team.
Yeah.
You know, whoever on the team did a just, they really owned this, did a great job. When the reality is that, like, it was me.
Yeah.
It was me beating the drum, setting
objectives,
holding people accountable. But I can't, for whatever reason, I can't bring myself to say it was me.
Yeah.
That was successful due to my actions. So I think there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot there. And again, if you're listening to this, I challenge you to think about, and this is actually part of the therapy, right? I challenge you to think about moments in the past 3 months of your life where some of these characteristics reared their ugly heads.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think part of addressing this is just recognizing it, saying hello to it.
I think so.
You know?
Yeah, I think so. And then sort of like, looking at the places where you can kind of go off the rails, you know, what I think was it me and you? I don't remember who I was talking to, but it was sort of like noticing triggers, things that trigger you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe you got a journal or whatever it is, but like maybe it's like negative self-talk. I mean, do you do any of that?
Berate yourself
or beat yourself down?
Out loud, I do.
Okay. Yeah. So like
when I'm alone, I talk to myself that way. Like, right. What are you doing, you idiot?
Yeah. So like, in that moment, like, what is it that's making you sort of berate yourself or beat yourself down? Like what is that? You know, when that happens, why did it happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, did you just mess something up? Like, and then look at it on the micro scale and the macro scale. Now I sound like Gary Vee. Like, is it that I just
macro,
like,
and micro,
you know, I was putting something together and I just drilled the screw in too far and it broke the thing, you know, or did I like completely misplanned the entire thing and now I've got to go start everything over?
Yeah,
like
mine's not quite as unhealthy. What was it? Yeah, mine's not quite as unhealthy as what y'all might think in listening to this. For me, mostly it's when I make small mistakes, you know, nothing that's like mission critical.
Yeah,
but I waste some time doing something the wrong way. If it's a real estate project, or like, mm-hmm, a woodworking project, or whether it's like a, I don't know, something related to a content strategy, whatever it is, like, I hardly ever botch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty good at what I
do. Yeah, there you go.
But I make mistakes along the way. And instead of embracing those for what they are, small failures, and I can learn something from it, yeah, I get into that self-critic.
Yeah, so that scale of reaction is just like, it doesn't match the actual size of the issue.
Right.
It's like a tiny issue, but the scale of reaction is huge.
And also, I will say this, it doesn't help me.
It doesn't help me. It doesn't help you get shit done.
It doesn't help. Like, in fact, it literally leads to more mistakes.
And it slows the process down.
Yeah. And it slows the process down.
Yeah.
To my credit, for what it's worth, I also am getting better at saying, you crush that, out loud to myself.
Yeah.
When I do complete something significant. Sometimes I do a lot of deep work where I'm by myself. I don't do this out in public. that would be weird. But yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a two-sided thing. So here's a question. What kind of imposter syndrome do you have, or are you? We got some options here. Mm. So are you a perfectionist? Are you a Superman, Superwoman, Superperson? Are you the natural genius? Are you the soloist, or are you the expert?
I just saw a TikTok with like those things in there. That's cool.
So I'll tell you about it. So the perfectionist is the type that has to be sure everything is done perfectly.
I'm not.
No mistakes.
Yeah, that's not
right. Perfect. Perfection is the goal. They want more success, more outcomes, and higher prestige.
Mm.
These folks are pretty much unsatisfied all the time. Next one, Superwoman. We'll just do Superwoman. This individual thrives off of showing their ability to take on a lot, showing off the key being there, their ability to take on a lot of work in a short period of time. They're the they're the pack mule. They're the Sherpas of the get it done of the crushing your day.
Hmm.
They are trying to prove that they are capable of handling anything. They take what they do very seriously. And you know, the underlying motion is fear of free time and taking time away from work to actually have a life.
I know someone like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The natural genius, they're fast, they're smart, they're slick. They get things done. They think they got it right. They got it right the first time. So they are hesitant, and even they even feel threatened by critiques, or feedback.
Hmm. Wow, that's like a overly aggressive direction there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and the thing is, the underlying emotion there is shame of shame of failing.
Yeah, I know people like that too.
Like they are so afraid of failure that they are incapable of allowing it into their lives. Hmm. The soloist, kind of similar to the natural genius, but they don't want support from others in getting and to get their work done. And in some cases, and they're not willing to ask for help regardless of the situation. In some cases, they resent others altogether. Hmm. So
that might be me.
So this is like self-righteous.
Oh, well,
person, right?
Gotcha.
You know, she's going to take it on. She doesn't want outside help. Hmm. And she thinks other people get in her way.
I have a little bit of that, but I can overcome that whenever.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work because I don't want to do it.
Like I crush the solo work, and I definitely have had expectations for myself and others around me, but I'm definitely not afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
And it's funny. The underlying emotion with the soloist is that they feel shame when they have to reach out for help because they were incapable of completing that task on their own.
And that's definitely not me. I'm fine with people thinking I don't know what I'm doing.
And then the last one is the expert. And this is similar to the perfectionist. Mm. Before they go do something big, they need to make sure that they have everything. So if you're applying for a new job or you need a new job, you're like, I'm not going to go out in the job market until I finish this degree or this certification whatever. I can't take on this project until I have taught myself JavaScript. Right. Or whatever else.
Yeah.
You know, like they're incapable of experimentation.
Right. Right.
Because they feel so inadequate.
Yeah.
And right. Lack confidence right. in taking things.
Right. Out. It took me a while to realize that there's value in that experimentation too.
We've talked about that before. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you 100%.
Like there's
but only if your mind is right.
Yeah. You have to be willing to understand that's part of the process.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, I think we let the last couple episodes ago I talked about this, you know, me getting better at woodworking and designing these farmhouse tables, like if the first one literally fell apart and like it, I mean, if I had been in a place where I was like, this needs to be perfect, or you know, like I can't share it with anybody until it is 100%, like I never would have gotten there. I built the first one, it fell apart. I built the second one, it was better, the third and fourth and fifth, and got better and better. But there's no way to do that work unless you are in a place where you are being experimental. Like you're going to feel it's okay.
Right. You got to kind of feel
so,
it out.
So which one are you?
I don't know. I think I'm like a spectrum of all of it.
You're on the spectrum.
Like at some point in time, I've experienced all of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
On some level. I mean, I think that's kind of the point with those
categorizations,
you know what I mean? Because you're not going to be like, I'm the expert, so I just have to simply be okay with asking for help, you know, like
I can,
because there are certain things I don't in my life that's like I should have this, why do I have to get help in this, like I just need to do
right
it. But then there are some things where it's like, yeah, I need help on this because I don't know what the hell this is, you know?
Right. And then, you know, we live in a world where, you know, we're passionate about what we do and we're creative, and sometimes that can get, you know, that you
yeah they can
very
get,
personal
yeah.
And then you get feedback from a client on a project or a concept or a design or whatever. And you're like, fuck you.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I put a lot of time into this?
Yeah.
Do you know what I put into this?
I thought about all the angles on this.
And you rejected it in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I already thought about all that stuff.
That's not really on them.
Yeah.
They're doing their job.
Yeah.
That's on you for assigning so much value to this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole process discussion of maybe you're working wrong, you know, because you shouldn't just like, well, let's talk about that. Like the whole, because we're in the web design industry, it's agencies love the unveiling. They love to have everybody in a room and they're like, we've been on the other side of the table waiting on somebody's work to see. And they're like, PowerPoint on. And everybody's like, I don't like it. And then it's like, oh shit.
But the other side of it is this. I know you, just let me jump in real quick. Fine. The other side of it is that unveiling, though, when
you get it right,
when you know you've done a good job and you get it right, and everybody in the room goes, oh my God.
Yeah.
So we
that's what you want.
Yeah. So for those out there, you know, we have this project. We're very passionate about it. Yeah. It's a client we love working with. You know, they're not afraid to spend big money, and they're not afraid to like dream a little bit and to take some risks. And so we were building a concept, like a brand concept for a launch campaign. Yeah. And I was the lead on it. And I had like the biggest case of like writer's block. And I finally like found my flow state and got in there.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's like one take Johnny, right? Put something together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel really good about
pretty good.
This.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. And I was all this imposter syndrome stuff was coming up. I think I love it. I'm going to hate it. You know, blah, blah, blah. And they ended up absolutely loving it and getting that external validation. Clients and partners of theirs, collaborators were like, I love it. I love it. This is some, I can see the application, blah, 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 blah. And I am flawed. I'm a flawed creature because I was just like, give it all to me.
Yeah.
I want it all. Give me all the praise.
Hey,
and that's
okay.
And that's great what happens, but
it's okay when you hit the home run.
Right. But had they gone the other way, I mean,
oh, yeah,
was it worth it to be crushed?
Right.
I probably would have been. And And that's a little too personal. It's a little too close to the vest.
But it's commercial design. It's commercial work.
It is commercial
work. You have to, yeah. It took me a long time to understand that too.
It's fucking art, man. This is art.
Well, it's art. You can go that route, but you can also go the route of like, I am identified by the quality of acceptance of my work out in the world. You know what I mean? So like, you're not really. It's just commercial work. It's somebody's acceptance of your work doesn't mean it's good or bad. It's just, it got accepted, you know, like they bought it.
Yeah.
You know, it's commercial. So it success is, did you get paid? Did you pay your rent? You're a success. You know, like, let's be real.
That's a really strong statement, a really powerful statement. So what are some,
I don't even like when they say commercial artist, right? Like, I don't even like putting the word art and commercial art together.
Yeah.
They're two separate things. In my opinion,
it's a contract. It's a transaction.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're doing work.
I will tell you what, man, for being so good at your craft, you, and maybe this is just you've been in the business for so long. You seem to be able to separate those things very well.
It's 25 years of getting crushed.
And not, you know, but I mean, like, you know, I get really into stuff, as you know, and I think that makes me very good at what I do. But you operate at that level or higher.
Well,
but you never seem to get upset when a client provides feedback, no matter how poorly they deliver it. You always seem to be able to separate out the value of what you did with your perception of its worth.
Thank you. I've worked on that. I still, there's other aspects that I don't do well. Right. That's just one that I've sort of honed over 20, 25 years of doing this, but like there's other aspects like, and I tell you what did it for me. I struggled with that for easily the first decade of doing that. God, I sound like an old man. The first decade of doing this.
Newsflash. You are.
Thank you. I spent half my life doing this. It's crazy. And it was like, struggling, like, oh, I gotta do this other thing. Like, this is what I do during the day, but there's other things I have to do. And I think a lot of agencies kind of struggle with this, or design firms, or whatever. How many of them have you seen that do really great client services work, but they're trying to build some product at the same time because they want to jump in this lifeboat that's the product eventually? You know, that never, and it never works. Like,
I mean,
I've never ever seen one work ever.
Hardly ever.
Ever. But a good buddy of mine, Carl Smith, told me, he was like, bro, you are in the client services business. You will always be in the client services business. You should probably accept that and just do the work that you do for client services. And I was like, ow, that hurts. I don't want to do that. But then after a while, I was like, he's right. Like, it's just, it's what we do. So why are you trying to make it something else? So that's really for me. And it was like, click, like, well, don't try to make it something else. We're just serving their needs. They're paying us. It's like any other service. If you hire someone to paint your house and they walk in your kitchen, they're like, you know, the sink doesn't look too great. Like, you'd be like, get out of my kitchen and go paint my house.
Lane. Well, stay in your lane, dude.
It's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what is that saying?
It's not complicated.
It's tongue in cheek, but yeah, you know, be yourself. Everyone else is taken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Own what it is that you do.
Yeah.
And you know,
but
and then do it well.
But there's other aspects of it where, like, the actual client services part, where you're talking to them and like being nice to them and all that stuff. I struggle with that because I'm like, just let me be a professional and do what I do. You know.
Yeah.
But there's the other part that is important as well that I struggle with.
Yeah, I'll tell you where, like, I see imposter syndrome rear its ugly head with folks in our community, SoCo or coaching clients or whatever else. And it's going to start a firestorm.
Good.
Fucking pricing.
That is one.
Pricing.
Yeah.
I find myself, you know, 100% feeling inadequate where I'm like, okay, here's the thing. We know this is incredibly valuable, right? Mm-hmm. It is worth a lot of money. But then when we go to sell it to the client,
you get like,
or we get involved in
charge that
yeah,
much.
We get involved in a negotiation.
Yeah.
Or whenever you start thinking about money, you start.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know so many folks who would have very successful businesses were they to just charge what they were worth.
Yeah. It's almost like you can't get someone else to do that part of your business for you.
It's like outsource your negotiations to someone
we
that
start
does not have
coaching,
imposter syndrome.
We could start a coaching business that's just about that.
100%.
About just pricing. Let me fix
and
your
even
pricing.
We have been guilty of it. I have
100%.
I mean, I
all
I
the
recall
time.
Where, you know, when I'm like,
we banter back and forth every time we put a contract together.
Right. Do you think that this is, I mean, you know, we got our cost covered, right? How much profit do we want to generate?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they're going to go for this price, Gene. And, you know, and we have that conversation every time.
Every
that
single time.
Comes from a feeling of inadequacy.
Yeah.
Right. Because in, you know, also, you know, I need to actually generate revenue, right? You have to pay the bills, but, those people that have made a transition in their heads to saying, listen, I will not measure my worth based on whether someone is willing to pay, you know, based on how much money people pay me or how little, in this case, how little they pay me. I am going to charge what I'm worth. And if that means I will not get that client or that project, I have to accept those consequences.
Yeah.
Those people experience unbelievable growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable growth.
Yeah.
Because they have to get past the fear of acceptance and the fear of failure because they are going to lose more projects.
Yeah. And it could come with other issues too.
Like what?
Well, like I've seen that, and I've seen like companies sort of lose their soul. That's probably a little too damning in saying that, in the way they deal with like their people, their employees. You know what I mean? Where all of a sudden they're like, they're doing that on a business level in terms of their worth and everything, but then they're sort of like looking at the people that work there as just like resources, you know.
And I know price low, and
I don't know, but like I know that's the reality. I mean, if you're, you know, trying to cover payroll and everything, everybody is a resource, and they have to be, you know,
productive,
billing at a certain level and all this stuff. But that begins to feel, you know, like kind of icky. You start referring to people's time as bandwidth. You know what I mean? Like, you've heard that. Or I've probably said that too. And you're just like, bro, I'm not a router. I'm a person.
I'm not a
router. You know what I mean? Like, like, don't ask me if I have the bandwidth. Like, what the hell does that mean? You know, like shit like that. But again, that's probably my imposter syndrome coming through at some level here.
I love it. I just love that you compared yourself to a router.
Well, I mean, you've heard that term. Boop, 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 boop. Do you have the bandwidth to talk to me? Like, what? What does that even mean? I have a brain and ears, and I got 10 minutes. So, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so we have defined it. We've explored it. We've unpacked it. We've shared.
Yeah, we solved it.
Guys, we've been vulnerable. We've shared how it creeps up in our lives.
Yeah.
Again, we hope that you're listening to this. You press pause on this sucker and take some time to reflect and where it creeps into your life. But we like to solve problems here because not only are we problem solvers, but we are dudes.
Yeah.
Dudes that like to solve problems.
There you go.
So let's talk a little bit about what people can do to try to like address imposter syndrome, prevent it, overcome it. What are some things that you have seen work for you? You know, and then what are some things that we've read? Right. Because they're, again, we we embrace other people's perspectives and we want those people to share. We can't solve all the problems on our own, in our own heads. So we like to read and listen.
Yeah. Something I've done, over the years, I guess, is sort of intercepting my negative self-talk. I really have done that. And I worked with a coach that was like, stop doing that. You know, you go to do something and you don't do well at it. And then you're like kind of kicking yourself in the ass because you didn't do well over it. And it's like, okay, well, you did that for a minute. Now, like, stop and think about what are the lessons you take from that, you know, and build on those lessons and things. And I have done that, work with a coach, work through some of that stuff. And it has helped tremendously to like, just like whenever I'm going, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, whatever, just be like, why am I saying that? Do I really not know what I'm talking about? Or is it like, am I just feeling a little insecure in this conversation? Well, I'm feeling a little insecure. So, man, you got 20 years of doing this. So, lean on that.
Is that like having a bouncer for negative thoughts in your,
I think so,
in the bar that is your brain?
I like to think about it that way. That's a good way to think about it.
What do you do with those negative thoughts once you intercept them? Is it you just
toss them, crush them?
Yeah,
they're worthless.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not real. They're not real. It's your, whatever it is, we can get Freudian. It's your like super ego or ego, whatever the hell, whichever one it is, tries to protect you.
You know, it is like,
you're just trying to protect yourself from failing.
It is like a saboteur.
Yeah.
It really sneaks in. And
I think it's a protective mechanism. Honestly, it's protecting you from what you think you're going to fail at.
So essentially observe and understand the voice. Know it's coming in.
Yeah.
Identify it.
I've done that work and it works.
You know, I read a great book. There was a season where I was very angry in my life. Three years ago, the pandemic was part of it, and lots of other things,
a lot of people.
Relational things. But I read a book, and actually a good friend of ours, John Wilkinson, he runs a great little e-commerce company called Confluence Commerce. He is the most zen dude I've met.
He's pretty zen.
Always calm, never angry, always calm. He gave me a book called Anger, Cooling the Flames. It's by, I think it's a Thai monk. I'm going to butcher the name, but I think it's Thich Nhat Han, and it was very good. And one of the things that he said in the book was, anger is a friend.
I like that.
Right. Don't look at it as an adversary. Wave to it as it visits you. Right. Acknowledge it and then allow it to continue walking down the street.
I dig it.
This idea that it's there, you don't have to let it in.
Yeah.
It's like that neighbor that you wave to, but it's not really a friend. It's like a neighborhood friend, right? You went away, but you would never really be like, come on on the front porch. Let's have a cocktail.
Yeah.
Right. So it's saying it's there. It's a part of my life. But I'm going to say hello and acknowledge it. I'm going to let it walk on by. It really helped me.
I like that.
To your point, sort of like intercept that thing before it got inside the marbles in my brain and it was rattling around. It turned into something really serious that was detrimental for relationships and my well-being and all that. So I love that one. It's a really good one. What are some other ones, some other ways to deal with imposter syndrome?
I don't know if it's how to deal with it, but I do have a scenario, I guess. And I had bookmarked this Instagram post. It was like 4 years ago, which is crazy. But there's this guy I followed named Dr. Sean Pastuch, and he was talking about imposter syndrome. He says it is not imposter syndrome. It's integrity syndrome. Integrity syndrome, I'll explain. The fear of making a promise you're unable to keep or deliver on due to lack of perceived education or experience. So I bookmarked that three years ago, for whatever. When I first started teaching karate, you know, I had a few students built up, dozen students, whatever. And it was time. So in our art, what we do, we do testing like twice a year. You'd have a test and you get the people there and you have a board. I have three or four people there, other black belts, and we see where they are and award them the next rank or whatever. They keep going down their journey. It didn't hit me until the first test, the very first test I ever had, that it's like, oh shit, did I actually teach these people? You know what I mean? Like, are they actually to the level that I expect them to be at? You know, like I kind of thought so, but I'm like, all of a sudden, like,
was that your imposter syndrome?
Yeah, creeping in? I was like questioning, like, shit, did I actually do it? Because my teacher, because I invited him, I was like, come on, it's my first test, come on, sit by me, you know, and I'm like, shit, I'm actually being tested, you know,
as a teacher.
Yeah. And I like, and so I realized it was like a, you know, did I do the job that I promised them and him and everyone else that I would do?
What
am I doing
it?
The job?
It was
he calls it integrity syndrome. Yeah. So he, and I, ever since then, you know, I've been like, whatever. And I saw this post and I was like, damn, that's it. You know? And I just went through that recently with my first black belt test. I tested my first.
Huge congrats.
Thanks.
By the way.
And I felt it all over again. And yeah. I had thought I'd kind of like passed that by, because I've had, you know, probably 24 tests since then with underbelts, you know, and it's like, whatever. Now it's like business, you know, like I know what I want and they know what to expect. And it's just like the whole thing. But that was another first. And it was like, oh shit, did he learn the lessons? Is he doing the thing? You know, like, poof, I don't know. And so through that, I learned that it was sort of like some things I was doing in business too, where it was like, you know, and we've done that, like as a business together, as a team or whatever, made promises that like, can we really deliver on these things? And you asked me that every once in a while, you know, and it, sometimes I respond like the fangs come up and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, but it's always a legit
question. Stop worrying about that shit.
Well, sometimes, and then other times I'm like, you know, I don't know, you know, because it's bitten us in the ass before.
Reality.
So that's another, like that integrity syndrome version of imposter syndrome or whatever that I've experienced. And I liked his post. What he says is only make promises you know you can keep.
Fair enough.
And that's pretty easy. And there's always like that little bit of like arrogance you have to carry where you're rolling the dice. Like, well, you know, I've never done that. But
stretch and push.
A little bit. I think there's a fine line between stretching and pushing and like just out and out making promises, because we've been on the other end of that too, where people have made promises to us and there ain't no goddamn way they're going to get it done. And
you're like, that's different.
I kind of need you to do this, you know, so you're like rolling the dice on them.
We have enough integrity and self-worth and work ethic, right, to make commitments. And we're going to do everything we can. And I think that is a something that is, it helps build trust in relationships and also creep some of that stuff down.
So where that really came to be was the second part of this post that he has. So he says, you know, only make promises you know you can keep. That's like, well, no shit. Like, that's pretty obvious. But he explained further, when you're not sure, instead of promising the result, promise the process. And I love that from a business approach, that it's like, we're not going to promise. Like, you know, you think about something like search engine optimization. You know, how many times do you see things where people are like, we'll get you to the top five or whatever. It's like, you can't promise that, you know, but what you can do is you can sell and promise the process of like, well, we're going to work pretty hard to do these things that should get you there. And then that's what you're paying us for. You know, that I like that feeling a lot more, and it sort of removes that.
Also, for whatever reason, just in the moment, it feels way less salesy.
Well, it's real.
You know what I mean?
It is real, you know?
Like, you know, SEO is just one of those things where I feel like I need to take a bath after I talk to some of these people.
But I love this. He has this thing. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to take, but I'm positive I'm going to work harder than anyone you've ever met before to figure this out. That's all I can promise. And I'd love to help you get to where you're trying to go.
You know, I
love that, like as a value, you know,
as a value, as a sales tactic, but also in the context of imposter syndrome, that feels like a really powerful way to not set yourself up for being an anxious mess.
That too. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, we've done that where you've got this, you've promised this deadline, you've promised this result, and you're just like, fuck, I don't, like, we're 2 weeks out. Oh,
dude,
shit. You know,
what are we going to do?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
That's a bad way to live.
So I read another one on Better Up that I really enjoyed. I'm going backwards a little bit.
Oh, it's all good.
Understanding that voice and having like that bouncer at the door.
Yeah.
And then what you said was another one that they listed, and that was assessing the evidence. And they said, anytime imposter syndrome creeps up in your life, in your work, whatever it is, take a moment, take a breath, and then make a list. On the left side of the list is reasons I'm inadequate. And on the right side of the list, it is reasons that I am competent. And the act of writing it down.
Yeah, that's good.
helps you to, I guess it's like evidence-based decision-making. So it's reflection and just proof. You said like, well, did I teach these folks well or not? Yeah. We're going to find out right through the test. You know, another one is, you know, they talked about refocusing on values. This is a hard one. This is one that I think I need. There's some room for growth in Greg's life around this, but refocus on values away from outward signs of success or achievement, and remind yourself regularly what matters to you.
But you got to know those values, though.
You do. That's the point. That's the problem. And I think that's a whole other podcast, all our discussion.
Well, how to get there. As I'm listening to you, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of self-awareness work that has to go into like
a fuck ton.
You first off have to even be aware that you are experiencing imposter syndrome like a little bit. You're not just like reacting
being
mindful. To
this is being present. This is being you know, comfortable in your skin.
Which is the whole point of this podcast, y'all.
It is, y'all. I mean, we are the best and the worst tools we have at our disposal for our success. What I really like about that one. So the example would be, it would be healthier with that launch campaign concept that I sort of flow stated my way through and just really super proud of, if I had just been proud of the result that I generated, regardless, separating the
right,
its value. Like I feel really good about it. I'm proud of myself for the process I went through, the focus, the creativity, and assembling a solid campaign.
Right.
Regardless of whether the client likes it or not. Like that's business, that's transactions, that's a client acceptance thing. Them not liking it should not devalue it for me. And
it shouldn't.
It shouldn't. It does.
Not of course it does. I mean, you know,
But that idea, if you're struggling with this stuff, then don't worry about what they think.
You care. You care about your work. You care about the client. You care about your relationship. I mean, you care. Like if you didn't care, you wouldn't feel that thing. You know, that's a problem. That's kind of like, you know, you're going into a fight and you don't feel any fear. Like, you're probably going to get fucked up. Like, you need to be kind of scared. You know what I mean?
I have no idea. I felt that a couple of times and I'm not a fighter. So,
well, regardless, I mean, going into a negotiation over salary, like with your boss, you should have a healthy dose of like, well, am I doing the things that I'm going to go in here and tell them I'm doing?
Yeah.
You should. Because if you don't, you're going to come off very cocky and they're probably going to be like, get the hell out of my office.
What did they say? Fear is a thief?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. Here's another one that I think most of us, were we to gain this knowledge, it would be a powerful, powerful mindset shift. And that is reframing around growth. Mm. And the idea behind that is, this is right up your alley, your work and your life, your relationships, whatever it is, it's all a journey.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all a journey. And what does a journey have? It has a starting point and an ending point, maybe, right? And lots and lots of choices and decisions and experiences along the way.
Yeah.
And so you can't grow or learn or make progress if you are not willing to fail and willing to push yourself a little bit. And so if you are afraid of failure because your imposter syndrome is rearing its head, you need to find a way to say, I am going to intentionally try something that I'm going to fail at, right? That the practice of getting better at it and accepting that the next time you do it, that the first time you do it is going to suck.
Right.
The next time you're going to do it, it might still suck. But if you keep at it, right, you will arrive at a destination where you have satisfaction. Yeah. And I have so many elements of my life. I can see that you start, you know, so the trick is, how do you start with some confidence at the beginning that fail and acceptance of that failure? There's a couple other ones, self-compassion, being kind to yourself. You know, this idea that, I mean, let's put it into perspective. Everybody is struggling.
Yeah.
There's no one that's not, there is no one that hasn't suffered from this, that hasn't woken up one day and said, I am inadequate. I'm a fraud. They're going to find out how long the jig is up. The jig's going to be up.
Think about, I know people aren't fans of his anymore, but Alec Baldwin, he was on That's Seinfeld, Comedians in Cars. I don't know if you ever saw that. And he was talking to Jerry Seinfeld about his career. And Jerry was like, well, I've never had that problem. And he's like, your life has been one unbroken boulevard of green lights, hasn't it, Jerry? I love that.
Yeah.
No one has that life.
Right. Nobody.
No.
Yeah. You know, there's another one out here that I think is important to note and maybe end on. But, you know, I on occasion, and by on occasion, I mean every day in my fucking life, can get in the habit of being like, I'm going to do it all. Mm-hmm. I'm a soloist, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely that way too.
And, you know, I think we go out and seek external validation for certain things without really knowing whether the people that we're getting validation from are qualified to
even
render judgment. YouTube comments, podcast comments, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I do think it's really important to surround yourself with a group of people that you do respect and trust, and to seek feedback from them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm dealing with a,
like for real.
Yeah. I'm dealing with a team member issue that I'm feeling I'm assigning a lot of blame to why the situation is the way it is right now because of me.
Mm.
And this is a person I care about that I want to have a better relationship with. And I didn't know really how to tackle this problem that we're facing. So I called a couple of people and I was like, listen, I am feeling inadequate in this area. I need you. I trust that you will understand that feeling and you have some expertise in this area that I need to lean on.
That's cool.
I don't want to, I need someone who is not going to judge me for not having enough knowledge in this area.
Right.
And that is why I'm asking you for help. And it was really, it was reaffirming that I was on the right path, but it was also really empowering for this. A couple of these individuals I called, they were like, why would you think that?
Right.
I'm going to judge you. I was dealing with that shit last week.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like,
well, that's also, yeah, that's, I mean, anytime I've had a big issue that I think is like life ending, you know, and I go and get like feedback from people, it's usually like, wow, my problem's not as big as what everybody else has experienced.
Right. But I think there's something to be said for like that, for who is in that circle.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like if I'm having a problem, at whatever problem I have, my mom loves me unequivocally. Right. She's always gonna be supportive.
But she's gonna be on your side all the time.
She doesn't really have a lot of experience
right.
in the kinds of things right. I'm dealing with. So
yeah.
So whatever she says, it's just not gonna really be helpful.
You gotta go to the right people.
Right. So that she's not an expert in the thing I need to solve.
Right.
She will always practice empathy and support, and that is incredibly powerful.
Well, that's what your mom should do.
And I love you, mom, and I wish everybody has somebody in their life like that. Yeah. But you know what I mean. So like, curate that network, cultivate it, invest in those relationships. Important. You know, and be real when you go in.
Yeah,
be like, listen, I'm vulnerable right now. I don't know how to deal with this. I need someone who's not going to judge me, who's going to help give me real feedback.
For sure.
I feel like you and I have a pretty.
Yeah, we talk about shit.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of shit.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like there's enough respect there to know that we check our judgments at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we put that hat back on 2 minutes later.
Well, you got to be able to separate that stuff too.
Yeah. So yeah, y'all, I mean, what do you think? So it's a lot. And, you know, we like tackling some of these harder problems and, you know, again, work and being passionate about what you do, finding purpose and having balance, all these things. I mean, we're all dealing with this.
Yeah. I mean, if you know someone that you think is suffering from imposter syndrome, send them this podcast and then they won't have it anymore.
That's not really the way it works, but it is a first step.
I'm journey. Practicing being confident.
I like that. You're doing a great job, you imposter.
Yeah. All right, man. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Thanks.